Welcome to the Planner Pals podcast, hosted by your two true Planner Pals. I am Jess, or Jessie Corinne.
Hey, and I'm Mark from Mark Your Pages, and we are back for another episode, Jess. I'm so excited. We had so much amazing support from the community last time.
I know. It was low-key overwhelming, like just a little bit, because I always, you know, you put these things out into the world, you're like, oh God, nobody's going to listen. It's fine. It's all right. But then to get so much positive feedback from everybody was just like, oh, fulfilling. Love that.
We got so much response and just comments on YouTube. Don't forget, we are now everywhere. I know when we first launched that first one, there was like a little bit of a delay, but if you'd like to check out this podcast, you can find us by searching Planner Pals Podcast, Spotify, Apple Podcast, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and YouTube, and also Spotify also have the video podcast as well, which is pretty awesome. So if you want to see our faces, make sure you check those out. So Jess, let's chat. What are we talking about today?
Alrighty. So in our last episode, it was more like a kind of history of why we plan, how we came to the planning system we have today, and also like a little prediction for the future. But one of the things that we very much have in common is the fact that we go with bullet journaling. Mm-hmm. So today we're thinking, well, why is it that bullet journaling is the one that kind of captured our attention and we've stuck with it?
It's definitely a good question for sure.
But of course, before we get into that, we do want to give a kind of brief introduction to what bullet journaling is. Just in case you're not familiar with it. I mean, if you're familiar with us, you're probably familiar with it. But starting at the start, it's a good place to start. So, Mark, bullet journaling, history?
Yeah, so the bullet journal method is one, I mean, we've both used this for a while, right, and gone through with it. But let's just kind of start at the very beginning, and you have to start with Ryder Carroll. So Ryder Carroll is the creator of the bullet journal. I think some people may question exactly that, but he did put the method together. A lot of people think that the bullet journal method as a whole is kind of a collection of a bunch of different things, and it kind of is. But overall, at its base, it's really here for being intentional. It's here to help you out with your productivity and honestly bring all of the things together. So if you have post-it notes and a notebook and things on your desk and everywhere, the bullet journal method really kind of brings that all together. So Ryder is our product designer, which I was excited about when I learned about him because I was like, I'm in that same space. This is pretty darn cool. And he introduced it in 2013, kind of put it out there and people started to grab onto it. There was a Kickstarter for it for him to get his first notebook. He partnered up with Voistrom for that as well. A bunch of articles. We'll talk about this later on in the episode, but that's actually how I found out about bullet journaling through an article. But the method though has definitely evolved. And I would say from a product standpoint, we've seen a few variations, but essentially there's been two notebooks that have been out there. You have the Bullet Journal Edition 1, which was that kind of Kickstarter version getting out there. And then this supersized, not really supersized, I would say, but a lot of cooler features in the Edition 2. There's also an online class, which is a Bullet Journal and Beyond course, which is interesting. I think we chatted about maybe going into that one deeper in a future episode. And they also have their own social media platform as well. So if you want to pay to be a part of that larger forum, you can. And a lot of cool conversations. I think you and I are both in there, Jess, and I don't know how much you engage, but I'm definitely a part of it. I get the notifications at least.
No, I'm like anti-notifications. So as soon as I get one, I'm like, turn all of them off. Absolutely not. Like, don't email me. But yes, I am in there.
I want nothing from you, Mighty Network. Don't you ever do that again.
Yeah. My God, why are you so obsessed with me? No,
for real. So I think there's definitely a few dedicated conversations that we could have around bullet journaling and the tools and everything else. But to continue along with that history, I guess, let's talk about the basics, kind of, if we will.
Nice. All right. So I guess you kind of touched on this, but it's very much that idea of like the intentionality behind it. Because people have kind of hypothesized like, oh, hasn't bullet journaling been around for ages? Like I was doing that back in the 90s. Kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. While I appreciate the sentiment of that, yes, we do like to keep lists. We like to be organized and stuff. And DIY planners don't necessarily have their kind of kickoff point in 2013. But I think that the thing that sets bullet journaling apart is that idea of like the intention behind it. Mm-hmm. So if we think about the method, it actually has two separate parts. We have the system and we've got the practice. So the system is what is kind of like the structure of bullet journaling. So your core collections, your index, future log, weekly log, daily log, and monthly log, and effectively like how we use that in that kind of more structural, technical kind of sense. Whereas the practice is all about the kind of mindfulness or intentionality that goes behind using those things. So thinking about not just what we have to do, but why are we doing it? Where is it taking us?
Yeah, I think that's a really important part of the method as well. And something that I know Ryder and the Bullet Journal group have really talked a lot about. It's not just the purpose of doing it, but why you're doing it, which I remember like one of the first conversations I went into, they were like, let's have an intentional moment. What are your intentions for this meeting? And I was like, what is this? I'd never set intentions before, knew anything about it. But now I feel like they're really kind of leaning into that more, which now I do it because I actually find it to be super helpful.
I think that also like one of my values is the idea of purpose. It's like, you know, why are we doing what we're doing in general, that kind of a thing. So I think that something that I found very attractive about the method when I actually started to really look into it was that idea of intentionality. It's not just trying to write every single thing from a brain into my book, but thinking about, okay, now as they're all down on paper, which ones realistically need to get done and why do I need to do them? So that's Bullet Journal's history, I suppose. But in terms of your introduction to it, Mark, where did you first find out about it? How did you get started with it?
I love this story so much because this, I think, is an example of what a lot of people say about bullet journaling. So years ago, I was looking for something. So I was working professionally. And one of my good friends, we always used to talk about like these different methods and how to do stuff and how to be productive and like on top of things. And I was using Evernote. I thought I was just going to be all digital all the time. Like I literally walked around work and I was like, I'm not printing that off. I've got an iPad and I don't need to use that. And Evernote was kind of my thing, but it really wasn't doing it for me. And then one day she shot me a chat and was like, hey, Mark, you should check this out. This seems like what you've been talking about wanting to do. And so it was an article. So at this point, I think Ryder had put the method out and then it had gained a lot of traction. So it was like Fast Company and like all these other like blogs essentially started talking about it. And it was like a breakdown. It was a piece by piece, how to use the method, you know, using these bullets as a signifier for things you have to get done. And then you use a dash for your task and like all these other symbols. And I was like, oh, hell no. Nope. Not doing this. This is BS. That will take forever. And I won't actually get anything done. And I just remember being like, thanks. You know, I didn't respond that way. It was much nicer, but I was like, this looks like a lot right now. So I know, whatever. So I tried other apps and everything else. I moved jobs and I came into a new role and I was just like, okay, I need to figure this out again for myself. And so I actually remember the article. I brought it back up. And I read through it and I was like, okay, I gave it the time that it really needed. And I was like, okay, I think that I can do this. Like, I'm going to go ahead and give it a try. So I'm not a content creator full time. So I work in like design operations and user experience design. And at that time I was managing a team and I go to a lot of design conferences and design conferences love to give you notebooks. And maybe that's where my obsession started. So I had a bunch of these like little like probably like 10 pagers, I guess, right? Little things like that. It's like, okay, I'm going to go ahead and give this a try and just see how it works. And I used it and I gave it 30 days and I really like paid attention to it. And like, it wasn't anything close to what it's like now, but it was really the actual method, probably doing it exactly the way Ryder Carroll intended it to be. It was the purest form of bullet journaling at the time. And that really was it. And then from there, I just kind of got into deeper things. And we're going to hit on that later on this episode on like exactly how we use it. So I'll save the rest of that story. But how about yourself, Jess? Because I feel like your story must be pretty interesting too.
I like the idea of, you know, somebody shared it with you, this article, like, okay, is this going to work for me and stuff. I found it through Tumblr, like, and I've since gone back and deleted all my Tumblrs because cringe factory to the extreme, but...
Wait, were you sharing bullet journal stuff on Tumblr?
I wasn't even sharing it. I don't even know how it showed up in my feed. So back in the Tumblr days, I feel like I just followed pretty much anybody who would follow me. It was that whole like follow for follow kind of business. So my feed was just a mix of the most random stuff. But I started to see, it must have been a couple of people, because I don't think it would have just been one, but a couple of people were sharing these pictures of this effectively like DIY diary or like a DIY planner. Because I didn't know it was called bullet journaling at the time. I just thought it looked really cool. So much like you mentioned, very much into that digital space, trying to keep everything in a digital space. But I had kind of left my creative pursuits behind when I really started getting into teaching. So all of that kind of creative energy that I would have had really went into lesson planning, that kind of thing. So to have kind of what I saw as like a marrying of my love of little boxes, like we're thinking Excel and stuff, with something a little bit creative that I can do with my hands, I'm like, okay, this has piqued my interest. A kind of bonus with that, I suppose, was the fact that I was completely swamped with all of the things that I needed to do for teaching, like the struggles of being a teacher in general, and then like a first year teacher and not having known what to expect. And it's just like, cool, I'm drowning. Love that for me. No. So kind of having not only this like creativity thing pushed into my face, like this creative outlet that I could possibly embrace, but also getting to marry that with the need for something to keep me on top of all of these tasks. Because we've talked about it in the last episode, but my little task list on the Google Calendar was not cutting it. I could not have everything just in one big list and hope to actually get everything done. So the idea of going like building a planner for myself was a very appealing idea.
It's interesting to hear you say that, because I just was working on some videos for my YouTube talking about bullet journaling and getting into it. And having a purpose behind a bullet journal, I think, is really important as a way to keep doing it. And when you mentioned, like, I didn't get a lot of creativity in my day today, and that was an outlet, it was actually very similar for me. Even though I work in a design space, in user experience design, it's not always like really cool design. And I was always kind of more on like the business end of it. So like for myself, when I started, I was like, I want to focus on my handwriting, which is interesting because I just write in all caps now. And I saw my dad do it when I was little. And I was like, I'm a full grown adult now. I can write however I want. I'm going to only write in all caps in my bullet journal, which is a lot harder than you think it is. But now that I do it, I can't write any other way. But then I also wanted to focus on like grids and layouts, because much like you, like I was seeing that stuff online and I was like, oh, that looks really cool and really neat. And being in design as well, I was like, well, I can think about grids and how I would lay this out. And, you know, I'm designing things for a website, but this is kind of, you know, a website on a piece of paper in a way. That's kind of how I look at it, honestly. So it's interesting to hear you share, like, it was a creative outlet, but also for functionality, because I think we get into a lot of those conversations around creativity versus productivity and bullet journaling itself.
I always love the creativity versus productivity discussion, because I'm just like, why are you pitting them against each other? Like, why not both?
Yeah, why can't they work together? I think that leads us right into like the next part of the conversation. You know, last episode, we talked about why we plan. You know, we got into a lot of deeper parts. I would have to tell you, Jess, I learned a lot about you in last episode. Just so much that I just, it's one of those things. Sorry, I'm going to get a little sappy just for a hot second here. But, you know, we talk about like planner pals, and I'm not just throwing that in because that's the name of the podcast, but like we have been planner friends for a really long time. And after last episode, I was like, now I just know more about you. I'm like, Jess is not super sentimental, you know, like she is when she needs to be, but like, you're not holding on to crap. Meanwhile, I hold on to every scrap of paper. It was just one of those things where I was like, this really is going to be an amazing like endeavor for us, because while we have similar interests, we are very different when it comes to like some of these things. So it just kind of cracks me up. And the next part of this, sorry for that slight tangent there, but you know, we talked a lot about, you know, why we plan, and we touched on approaches. And the one thing that really blew me away is when you're like, I don't use an index for a lot of things. And I know a lot of people also don't, but when we talk about the bullet journal method, that's usually like kind of a key function of that. So I thought what we could do is just go into a little bit more about our actual approach with bullet journaling, because we actually have questions from the audience that we got from last episode. Thank you all for doing that. But just to go in a little bit about how you actually use your bullet journal and just kind of give us a deeper look inside of your mentality there.
Yeah, because like you said, I did used to use an index. You know, when I started out, I did have one. But I also kind of think it might have just been because the notebooks I was using had it printed in. So I'm like, well, I don't want to waste this. You know, I spent money on this notebook, first official, like special notebook, quote, quote. So I wanted to make sure I used it fully and put the index in. I remember, this is also a side tangent. I remember I was filling in my index and I dropped my pen on the page, and it was one of those brush pens, and it made this like weird line on the index. And I was like devastated. I'm like, oh my God, my index is ruined. I'm going to have to stick the pages together. That has certainly changed about my planning style. Not quite so. I'm still a persnickety biscuit about it, but like I'm less prissy.
A what? A persnickety biscuit?
Yeah, it's my nice way of saying that I'm a prissy bish. It's a vibe. And so, yeah, I used to use the index. I don't anymore. But I think that's in part because with my system now, like going from the start to where it is, I don't keep everything in one journal anymore. I found very quickly that that didn't really work for my brain hole. I needed to have things separated out so that I knew where to go for what pieces of information. It also kind of helped with finding that going from one journal to the next and that kind of migration process where you like set up the new one, bring things over. I was getting really damn tired of setting up the same stuff over and over again.
Makes
especially
sense.
With like reference pages that you just don't want to have to set up over and over again.
You had a lot of support in the community, by the way, on not using an index and also on having as many notebooks as you had. There was a number of people who commented on the reel that was like, don't you dare be sad or ashamed by that, girl. I got 9. Keep it going.
Yeah. It's almost one of those things that I was just like, I know in my soul, like, I don't mind using as many notebooks as I do. But then you get those people, the lurkers in the distance, like, oh, she's using like 27 notebooks. How does she even have time to have a life? I'm like, okay, love, calm yourself, but it's okay.
Bullet journal is life. I mean, let's just go ahead and accept that.
Obviously. Yeah. So having multiple notebooks, though, that just really helped me kind of organize things in a way that worked for me, because I'm all about people finding a system that works for them. So the first notebook that I separated off was my long-term collections. So that was that kind of like reference materials. So things that had like lists of ideas or swatch pages or really anything that I knew I wanted to keep for longer than just one notebook. So my notebook would typically last me about 6 months. Anything that I know I want to use for like a year or upwards would go in that long-term collections. Over time though, as we mentioned last time, I added a couple more to the lineup. So I have a little fleet now of notebooks, but I think that just having it in all of those separate places, knowing what kind of information goes into which place, has been very helpful for my practice.
It's actually really interesting to hear you share that. I'm glad that we're sharing this too, because I'm not that I was a persnickety biscuit about like people with a lot of different notebooks. You like how I did that? I kind of always seen it as like having too many notebooks. You actually give it like a really good idea there, which is like, if you don't want to recreate those all the time, especially depending on how quickly you're going through your notebooks, having a dedicated one for that kind of saves you time. So in a way it is very effective in that. I guess for me, it's always just like remembering to go back to that, but I guess it would be very similar to, I'm going to flip to my habit tracker page. You're saying I'm going to pull out my habit tracker notebook to do that instead.
Yeah, effectively it's like, you know, finding that balance between having enough different kind of notebooks, I suppose, to actually work with the way that you want to work things, but also not having so many that keeping up with them is like overwhelming or just not manageable or anything like that. And that's why I think it's a very personal thing. Like, I can use 8 notebooks to varying extents and be quite happy. But for somebody else, using more than one would be too overwhelming.
Yeah, I'm in that boat. I think I got to 2. Well, I mean, I think I mentioned it last episode. Like, I have a number of other little ones kind of around, but like actual daily journals that I'm using, I maxed myself out at 2. And that was even a little difficult. But I think it was because, unlike what you're mentioning here, which each of your planners or journals has a specific purpose, I was almost doubling up. I have my bullet journal for task and note management. And then I had like a planner, which I was using almost kind of for the same thing, but it had elements that my bullet journal didn't have inside of it. And so I was trying to find a good way to like bring those two together.
Because even though there is technically like power in repetition, like, you know, the more that we repeat information, the more it sticks in the brain hole, that kind of thing, it also leads to things being able to get lost. So when it came to like setting up my little fleet of notebooks, I needed to know specifically, what is your purpose? Like, what is the function of this notebook versus my others? And thus, where do I put specific pieces of information so things don't get lost and don't get duplicated unnecessarily? So like you said, you only really kind of cap out at maybe 2 notebooks that you can use actively daily at one time. And I guess I'm kind of similar with that. I think in terms of like the daily touch, I only have maybe like 2 or 3 that actually get used every single day. But what's your kind of current approach to bullet journaling now?
I feel like I've learned a lot over the years. My current bullet journal right now, dare I say, I've almost found planner peace with it. So I know it's a big thing to say, but it's because I've experimented a lot over the years. So my approach has always been related to work. So it's the reason that I started my bullet journal in the first place. I will sometimes put personal things in there, but most of them have to do with events or kind of other things that are going on. I might every now and again put like a house project in there or something like that, but there's no like dedicated space to that. So mostly it's for work. I follow the actual method pretty closely, at least when it comes to the collection pages. So obviously I'm an avid user of the index. I find that it's the brain of the operation. That's what I always call it. Like for me and how I use it, it makes a lot of sense. So I always have that in there. And then I'm a big weekly log person. So that's the one thing where I guess I slightly differ from the method itself is I don't do daily logging. I kind of do, but I always set up weekly setups. That way I can see my whole week. If I have meetings or things I need to accomplish on certain days, it's already there for me. And then I do rapid logging and I guess somewhat daily logging kind of in a separate section from that. I'm a big proponent of like setting up like spaces in the bullet journal to do certain things. So I'll have like a weekly overview and then below that, like a large space for notes and tasks and things like that. The thing I did different this year was actually with my future log. You know, I always felt like you had to use the future log on how it was intended. You know, follow it by the book. Here's what writer said to do, do that. And I, in my very first bullet journal, I used it religiously because I was like, I'm going to follow this method perfectly. But then over the years, it's kind of fluctuated. And in my last bullet journal, I never put anything. I put one birthday in my future log.
One lonely birthday.
It was just, and it wasn't even like mine or my wife's. It was like my brother-in-law or something. Like it was just like random.
Prime position, the VIP lounge of the future log.
The only thing I needed to remember in the future was his birthday last year, but it just never kind of worked out for me. But this is why, is that I was using another planner and it was a calendar planner. So it had all of the months kind of gridded out like a normal calendar. And I used that all the time. It was amazing. I was so proud of myself. I was like, okay, this is it. Like, I've got it. So I was using the Owl Paper Planner, which is similar to the Hobonichi. If people probably know about that because the Owl Paper Planner is a own like small business. Worked along with them actually just doing some promotion stuff, but absolutely fell in love with that planner. And I was like, okay, this actually works for my bullet journal and how it was. So when I set up this new bullet journal, my future log actually looks like a calendar now. I figured out the spacing to my square journal. It's beautiful and I love it so much. And so now it's functioning the way that everything kind of was before, but it's all happening in one notebook. So the future log, its own thing. I love that. So be it. I'm also a major user of collection pages. So because I'm doing project management at work, I'm working with different vendors, I'm doing like special programs as well. Each of them get their own page inside of there. So I can go back to those. Any type of recurring meeting or anything like that, that's kind of where I'm at. I've moved away from like a lot of heavy trackers, but like I do track social media. So Instagram or YouTube or anything like that, I'm a pretty big fan of professional goals, professional development, all of that. But all of that is related to work. So that's the other thing too, is like anything that I'm doing is kind of related to work in there. I don't have any personal goals that I'm documenting or writing inside of my bullet journal. It's all very much work-based.
Yeah, what I like the point about like no personal goals in there, because goal setting is big for me. Love goals, love goal setting, love goal planning. And I always find that I'm so much more easily drawn to kind of professional goals or goals that are related to my workspace. If I try and think about working on myself, I'm like, no, 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 no. But another video series, yes, let's do this. Let's start a podcast. That's much more exciting.
It is so much more exciting to do that. I think our brains work very similarly in that way, where it's like, there is this thing I should do. Like, I should set personal goals for myself for the year, but like big, cool, better ones. Like, this is more fun. Let's go ahead and do that.
I know, right? I've decided this year that I'm like allergic to shoulds, because shoulds just lead us to a place of being like down on ourselves. I'm like, no more shoulds, all about coulds, all about wannas, all of that kind of thing.
You probably can't read it because it looks a little blurred, but I have a quote that has just been a game changer for me. And it's, make decisions, right or wrong. The world is filled with flat squirrels that couldn't make a decision.
Super motivational. I'm glad it doesn't have like a flat squirrel picture to go with it. The little black box is much more user-friendly.
Yeah, no, it definitely doesn't need a visual to go with it, but I always think about that. So anytime I'm making a decision now in my life, just like, let's just make a decision. Doesn't matter if it's right or wrong. We can change it. We can be agile, but let's just go ahead and just not sit on it and get it done. So I think that might be a little bit of a reason. Like I would need like a personal goals to bring my ideas together and like focus on them, not necessarily about accomplishing them. I'll have a list for days of stuff could do, right? Or should do, but that's not really happening.
I know, right? There's like so many things that could be done, but it's like, okay, well, where do we actually start? Like, that's probably exactly a better question. Where do we start? What, you can do everything, you just can't do it all at once kind of a vibe?
So we actually got some questions, which I was very excited about. You know, you put out your first podcast episode and you say, hey, we'd love to get some questions. And we did get some, which was great. One of my favorites, which isn't one of these, someone emailed and was like, I've never reached out to anybody before. Like, this is very new for me. And I felt that was awesome. Like, that just made me feel like we made that person feel comfortable enough to send us a message and do that. So appreciate it so much. Let's go into these two questions real quick. And if you, the listener, the viewer, depending where you're watching or listening to us, would like to send any questions to us, and we'll also have a question at the end of this episode as well that we'd love to get your feedback on, you can email us at plannerpalspodcast@gmail.com. Also, our Spotify page has this thing where you can leave a voice message as well. If you want to try that, we'll put those links in the show notes, but the email is the better way to do it. So let's go with this first question first. The first question that we got, what is your impression of bullet journaling now versus when you first started? You want to start with that one, Jess?
I think that, kind of like I mentioned before, when I first saw bullet journaling, I didn't know it was bullet journaling, mainly possibly because it was more of the kind of decorative side of the bullet journaling space. So a little bit prettier, a little bit more creative kind of a thing. I think that for a really long time, we kind of touched on this before as well, I really struggled with the idea of like, but isn't it just a list book? Like, isn't it just a book of lists? Like, you're just writing down stuff you need to do or stuff you want to buy or like whatever. They're your collections. You write down what you will. But isn't that just list writing in a bound notebook? And it wasn't actually until probably the last like year and a half, maybe 2 years, that I've actually realized like there is more to this and what that more kind of is. So that idea of like the practice versus the system, in particular the practice side of it, or the why, or the kind of mindfulness part of the mindfulness practice. What about you? How has your impression kind of changed from when we started to now?
I think I want to say that. So when I first started, I looked at bullet journaling and the method and all of the big bullet journaling stars that we saw online as this like celebrity status. So bullet journaling itself, Ryder Carroll, all of the big names that we saw, I really looked up to them because I was really trying to embody the bullet journal method myself. So really understanding the why, I think that's actually like the two circles, the Venn diagram a lot that bullet journal does, actually has the why in the middle. So I think you're really hitting that on the head. And I was really trying to embody a lot of that and figuring that out. Over the years, though, so it's been 7 years that I've been bullet journaling now, I definitely, I'm not saying that the celebrity status thing doesn't exist anymore, but what I think that I've done with it is just really kind of taken it on as my own and like owned it. So then maybe that's a part of it. Felt like imposter syndrome earlier on because I was new to it. I saw other people doing it. I wasn't sure. But for myself now, I feel like I own it in a way. So that ownership, though, has also made me feel as if I can make the changes to the system that make sense for me, where I would feel guilty by changing, like what I've done with my index, for instance. Years ago, I would have never, I was like, no, that's not what it says. Ryder says no. But now understanding that that has changed over time and it's what works for me, now I honestly feel like this is me fully embodying it because it's functioning for what I need, not me trying to fit what it is or what I thought it was.
Yeah, I love that idea of like having kind of, I'm going to say giving yourself permission, which you don't need permission, but it's fine. Giving yourself permission to play and tweak and change things so that then it fits you the way it needs to fit you. I really like that aspect of the bullet journaling kind of method and system as a whole.
Yeah, and this next question kind of goes into that a little bit. So they're asking, what has changed the most on how you use the bullet journal method?
I think kind of similar to what you said at the start, it was a lot more akin to kind of the original, the basics, all of that kind of stuff. I mean, it was still decorative and pretty because if it's not decorative and pretty, I'm not going to use my journal. And if you don't use your journal, you're not bullet journaling. So there we go. Kind of getting away from the index, getting away from the future log, coming back to the future log, completely changing how I look at a future log. And also that why, and considering the kind of intentionality behind what I'm putting in my journal. So it's like, okay, yes, you've set up XYZ tracker, maybe because you saw it online, maybe because you thought it would be a cool idea, whatever else, but how does this actually benefit you? Like, how does this actually kind of bring more of what you want into your life? An example, I kind of found this with habit tracking, right? So I would pretty much religiously have a habit tracker that had 12 habits on it. We're going to ignore the fact that they were, you know, 12 habits that I was maybe trying to build. I'm not even sure, but I would track all of this data about, you know, which ones I'd done or not done and stuff. And then halfway through the month, fall off with it and not fill in the rest of the tracker. It's another aside.
Everyone is guilty of doing that.
I know, right? I look back through my journal journals and you have like all of these half-filled months. On one of them, I literally just wrote, obviously I died, because like there was nothing. It was nothing after like the 10th. You know, setting up these trackers and tracking this data and recording it. And even on the months where I fully filled them in, I kind of look back on those and I'm like, what did you actually do with this? You weren't using it for accountability to actually make yourself do it, given how many days are blank. And you never came back to it to kind of think about like, well, what does this actually show you in terms of your habit tracking or like habits you're trying to build? So it's like, if you're not using the data and you're not using it for accountability or you're not using it after the fact, then what's actually the point of putting it in there? So it's like, am I just making my journal performative in that way? I guess that's kind of where I've changed.
Jess, I think you just blew my mind with that response, that answer. Seriously, I guarantee most people never, ever go back to those habits to do anything with that information. Like, that's what just blew my mind. I'm thinking about all the stuff I've done over the years. Like, we joked about it in other conversations, like tracking how many sodas I drank a day. Okay, so... So I drank two a day for a month. I'm not changing my behaviors. Like, did anything change?
It's literally that, because I had a soda tracker and I kind of look back at the data. I'm like, are you just trying to make yourself feel guilty? This is your joy. We don't want to give up our joy.
You literally just opened up this whole world, I think, to that. I really don't have words. I can't. I don't have even words for that. That just makes so much sense. Now I'm thinking back. I'm like, what did I ever do? I didn't do nothing with my sleep tracker. I said I got 5 hours of sleep. I didn't change crap. I didn't do anything about that. I'm still doing the same behaviors I was before. It just looked cool on my page.
Yeah, it's kind of going into setting up these layouts and stuff with a purpose. And I'm not saying that everything needs to have like a hugely impactful purpose, because a lot of the time, the things that I set up in my journal, the purpose is fun, the purpose is joy, the purpose is it looks cool. But as long as I go in knowing that, then I can use the layout in the way that it needs to be used. For instance, like going with the kind of time tracking kind of option here. I have previously set up time logs to be like, you know, where is my time going? That kind of thing. But then would never actually use the data I got out of it. Whereas in the past year, I decided to go into it. I'm like, okay, I'm going to track my time for 2 weeks in 15-minute increments. I'm going to figure out where my time is going, what I'm spending it on. But I'm actually going to use that to figure out a better schedule for myself. Like roughly how long do things actually take? When am I most inclined to do things? When am I most inclined to scroll my phone aimlessly? So I can build those kind of data points into a new system that I'm making for myself. It's like intentionality, purpose in what I was doing there.
You are our new bullet, you know, writer care step aside. Jess is here to teach us all we need to know about this. That was next level. That was awesome.
So same question for you though. So what has changed the most about how you use the method?
So I think the biggest thing for me is that early on, I was very much by the book 100%, because I felt like I needed to learn that first before I could expand. And I don't know that I did that really well early on, because I was seeing what was online while simultaneously trying to keep those pieces and like didn't quite vibe out just yet. So I've actually had a moment where I think I went too far to the creative side and not on the functional. And I actually called it my come to Jesus moment. It was over the summer. And I was like, this is not working for me. And I actually stopped using my bullet journal for 2 weeks. And I reread the bullet journal method book. And that gave me like a new appreciation for the method, because one, I actually was showing myself by not keeping it how out of control things are without that for me. Like that was intentionally trying not to use my bullet journal. I was keeping sticky notes, but I was still technically bullet journaling on the sticky notes. Like that's just how my brain was wired. But I really was like, this is giving me more anxiety not using it. So Mark, why are you spending so much time creating these crazy spreads or doing all these things? Now I'm questioning every tracker I've ever set up in my entire life. But like, it was just a moment. So I came back to it fresh and I was like, okay, Mark, what do you want from this? And I think that was kind of the question that reset me, is not just use the method because I'm following the method for what it was, but why are you doing this? I asked myself that question. I actually think I probably set up a collection page and was like, just going through with it, right? Like, why do I use a bullet journal? Asking myself these questions. And that really kind of opened me up. I want to be able to take a look and track kind of what's happening within my week with meetings and tasks and to-dos. I need to make sure that I'm accomplishing the things I'm telling my coworkers and my boss that I'm doing. So if I need to email people back, I will not remember that on my own. I need to write that down or write down a note. Or if I'm building out a presentation or a training, I write it down first. I was doing that anyway. So I think really just coming back to it was just being very intentional about what I was using it for. And then really customizing it to fit what I need. Like I said, I never kept any kind of like future log calendar like I'm doing now, but my job has changed, my responsibilities have changed, and I need that now. So I spent a little time, a little research and development with an extra notebook, and I figured out how to make it work. And I feel very good about that. I don't feel guilty like we talked about earlier about changing that. I actually feel really, really great that I did that for myself. So I think it's definitely been that up and down kind of ebbs and flow of the method and myself, and just accepting it and knowing that it actually is really powerful for me. It makes sense, and that I need to make sure that I'm happy with what I'm doing in it, not feeling overwhelmed and frustrated.
It's almost like taking like a SWOT analysis to your like journaling practice. So it's like, you know, what are my strengths? What are my weaknesses? What kind of like opportunities or what I consider like needs? What are the needs that I have for my journaling practice? And then, I don't know, I don't like to think of them as threats. I like to think of them as like things to try or things to trial. Taking a little bit of a deeper dive into the why behind the practice and figuring out how you can then make it fit what you need it to do for you.
So what do you feel like just are like the top, let's say top three things or piece of advice that you would give to someone who's either new to bullet journaling or perhaps maybe in a spot like we just talked about?
First thing would be purpose first, right? So like, what do you actually want to get out of this? Like, what are your intentions for this notebook? Very serious. But figuring out what it is you want it to do for you is a really good first step, because then everything else can be decided upon based on whatever your response is. So it's like, if you want it to help you organize your day to day, then it's like, okay, well, we'll need something that has like maybe dailies or things broken down by day. We're going to need tasks, events, that kind of stuff. If you want it as a kind of like personal development space, then it's like, okay, well, I need to go and find inspiration for taking notes, whatever it is. Your purpose is going to dictate how your journal looks. My second thing would very much be about the idea of trying everything. Oh my gosh, I love experimentation. I love getting to try new things in my journal. And I know that keeping it fresh and trying new things in mine has made me more likely to stick with it, right? Obviously, we also want to bring in a little bit of like reflection into that to say like, okay, which ones worked versus which ones didn't. Because if you're adding and adding and adding new things every single month, you're soon going to find it overwhelming. We don't want that for you. So then the third tip would be do all of this trying and all of this experimentation with a lens of curiosity and self-compassion. It is okay if you set something up in your journal and it doesn't work out. That was a learning opportunity. It's not a failure, right? Sometimes we win, sometimes things work out for us, and sometimes we learn. We get to find out what doesn't work for us, what didn't seem like purposeful, what didn't get kept up with, that kind of thing. So purpose first, try all the things, do so with curiosity and self-compassion. What would your advice be for new to the bullet journal method kind of persons?
So this is why I love that we do this podcast together, because we differ on one of your points. I think that the best advice for someone who is either just getting into it or is maybe in a spot kind of questioning it is to start with the basics. So don't experiment too much, because sometimes that causes paralysis for people from moving forward. So I think if you're just starting, my advice is start with the basics. You can read the book if you want to. Jess and I actually have a few really good series, I personally think, I mean, for both of us, of how to start with a bullet journal. You have a whole series on getting started with it, which I think it was a really fantastic series for that as well. But looking for those types of videos or other people that are talking about it that are starting with just the basics. Maybe they can teach you things a little bit differently than maybe you are learning on your own. And then I would definitely say where we're the same is about the purpose and intentionality. We've talked about that before. Have a purpose for your journal, make a page for it, create an intentions page if you want, and really think about why you're keeping it. If you're just keeping a journal because you see other people online doing it, you likely will not be successful in it. But if you have a reason for it, do that. And my other one, this is kind of silly, but get a good notebook. And the reason I say this is because I do believe that your notebook and specifically the paper that you have does make a really big difference. I won't go on too big of a tangent on this, but in my very first bullet journal, I was using a Leuchtturm, and it was the earlier versions. I think all of us did that, right? And for me, one thing I learned from experimentation is I hate ghosting on my pages. And so I was using different types of stationery or markers or whatever, and I could see my notes on the other side, and I hated it. I was flipping pages and like wasting pages. And that was just, well, wasteful, honestly. I think also finding like the right size notebook, but that also comes with experimentation too. I feel like you have to try a few things to know, but just finding something that you feel good in, you know, spending a few extra sushi rolls on a good notebook if you feel like that's something that you want to really focus on. If you are not worried about that at all, go grab a journal from Walmart, you know, for a few bucks and just try it out in there and see how it goes. But I do think that having a good notebook makes you feel confident in using that. If you do make mistakes or anything else, if you do try different markers or whatever else, if you go down that route, right, at least you have a good notebook that's there to keep hold of you and like give you kind of what you need.
No, I like your point about getting a notebook that is good, quote, quote, because yeah, I started with an LT 1917 and very quickly realized I also did not like ghosting. I think it was actually because I started sharing my layouts on social media that it became more annoying for me. It's like, I just want a picture of the stuff on this page. I don't want all the stuff on the page underneath it.
There is no such thing as any type of privacy between pages in those notebooks.
No, it's this weird thing because I'm like, with the way that I currently like to plan, you know, a little bit more decorative, using different pens, markers, that kind of thing, the ghosting irks the ever-loving heck out of me. But if I'm just writing notes, like just black ink on paper, you know, filling up all the lines, I actually really love the ghosting because it makes it feel used. So it's kind of a personal thing, you know, obviously some people really love that kind of used feeling of the pages. Some of us do not like ghosting whatsoever. So like you said, it is kind of an experimentation thing to figure out what works for you specifically.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Question for you, Mark. I want you to finish this sentence for me, but the biggest myth about bullet journaling is?
I believe that the biggest myth about bullet journaling is that it takes a long time to do. And so that is probably the number one comment I hear from anyone who has either failed at bullet journaling or ever has wanted to start is that it takes a lot of time. I think for me personally, without going on too much of a whole separate conversation about that, is just the fact that it doesn't take a long time. Really, if you have the basics down and you understand the foundation of how it works, you're really just writing and getting your stuff going. You do not need to create fancy headers. You do not have to use special tools or anything for that. You really could go in with just a pen or a pencil and your notebook and actually just follow the bullet journal method. But even if you are doing a little bit extra fun because you like that, I spend maybe 15 minutes a week like designing my page, but I also enjoy the stamps and finding different things and trying new inks and fountain pens and whatever else. But I don't let that bother me. I build that time into my schedule to allow for it. And even just reviewing your bullet journal, I say, you know, spend 5 minutes every morning and then 5 minutes at the end of the day just to review through as you're working through it. That's all you need. Like, we spend more time doom scrolling than you could just looking through your bullet journal for a few minutes. So just think about where you're allocating your time. I'm sure you're wasting time technically somewhere else when you could just be, you know, making sure you're following up on the things you would do for the day. How about for you? What do you think the biggest myth about bullet journaling is?
I think the biggest myth about bullet journaling is that it's just lists in a book. Like we said, you know, there is more to the system, or rather more to the bullet journal method than just writing things down. It's that intentionality that comes along with the practice side of bullet journaling. So not just what do I need to do, but also why do I need to do it? How does this take me where I want to go? And I think that second one would probably be the biggest myth about bullet journaling is that there is no wrong way to do it. Kind of a controversial topic, I feel, but I do think that there are technically maybe 6 or so ways that you could be bullet journaling wrong.
Okay. Well, let's do this. Let's use it as a topic for a future podcast, because I think, I mean, we both know, we talk about this in this community. There's been a lot of conversations about that. And I think a lot of people also who call it bullet journaling, but they're not really bullet journaling. And then those who are and are little snickety biscuits. Is that what you said? Persnickety biscuits?
Snickety biscuits.
About people who are maybe using a hybrid version or something like that. So let's talk about that next time. I think that'll be good.
Yeah. Is there a right or is there a wrong way to bullet journal?
I think I'm going to get in trouble on that one because I do have some like persnickety biscuit things to say about it. We would love to hear from you. As we mentioned, as we've talked about this podcast is about the community of planners and planner pals alike. So we want to hear from you. Let us know what you think the biggest myth about bullet journaling is, whether this is from your own experience or if you're someone who doesn't bullet journal, but you've heard about it. We'd love to hear from you. You can do this in a multitude of different ways. If you'd like, you can go ahead and email us with the answer to that question, plannerpalspodcast@gmail.com. We're also going to post this over on our Instagram, so you can follow us at Planner Pals Podcast. We'll put this up there and get all of your questions. And like I say, you can use the comment section if you're watching this on YouTube, or dropping comments inside of the podcast yourself. Really, anyway, we'll do a good job of collecting it. We can't wait to hear from you on your answers to that question, because I feel like we'll get a lot of interesting ones next episode.
Well, I thought this was a great initial conversation about bullet journaling, and it was really cool to hear your thoughts, Mark, and how they kind of differ from mine. Very eager to see what the community says, so do make sure to answer today's question. What do you think the biggest myth in bullet journaling is? And we will see you guys on our next one in 2 weeks. So until next time, from your Planner Pals, thanks for being here.
Bye.
Bye.